कृपासिन्धोभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile on the exalted prayers of Shri Prahlad Maharaj. So, it's a very interesting parallel I heard before I started the prayers. No, Hiranyakashipu was challenging, where is God? And then is he there in this pillar? Yes, he is there. And he attacked the pillar, bombarded it, and he split apart. And this fearsome form of Lord Narasimhadev came, which destroyed Hiranyakashipu. So similarly, the modern atheistic civilization is headed by the atheistic scientists is challenging, where is God? And they went into the atom and split the atom. And from that has come the atomic energy and nuclear energy, which is threatening to destroy this complete modern civilization. So in fact, one scientist said also that I went into the atom and therein I discovered the glory of God and of the creation and the creator. Nobel laureate Max Born, he said that. So very similar. Now, most of us know the background to these prayers. The Lord appeared and he was half man, half lion and full God. He had the full power of God with him and Hiranyakashipu was completely overpowered, and the Lord just fought with him for some time and then ripped him apart, and still he was very angry, and the different demigods offered prayers but none of them could satisfy. Then Brahmaji pushed little Prahlad forward. Now Prahlad Maharaj went and offered obeisances at the feet of the Lord. And that Lord was roaring like a lion, started purring like a passing like a cat, and he put his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, and he was empowered. So the Vishnu Sahasranam says, "Stavya stavya priya stotram stuti stotarana priya purnam puraita punya punya kirti anamayam." So stavya stavya priya stotram stavya priya. The Lord is pleased when the devotee offers prayers to him. And stavya, because he has unlimited auspicious qualities and activities, the devotees offer prayers to him unlimitedly. Stotram. Stotram means, so Baldev Darshan translates this as, that the Lord personally empowers devotees. And he used two examples, like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, to offer eloquent prayers to him. Stavya stavya priya stotram, stuti stota rana priyaha. So stuti. The devotee is an empowered by the Lord, glorify him continuously. And stuti stota. And conversely, the Lord wants to glorify his devotees. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is offering the prayers, but before that itself, the Lord has glorified Prahlad by being pacified by his very attempt to offer prayers. So that is the glory. Where everyone else failed, Prahlad has succeeded. Now, the first prayer is very extraordinary. So, I don't know, how many of you have Bhagavatam? Okay, we can share, we'll recite this prayer. Of course. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Brahma Dayas Suragana Munayotha Siddhaha Sattvaikatam Gatayo Vachasam Pravahai नाराधितुं पुरुगणैरधुनापि पिप्रो किं तोष्टुमर्हति समे हरिरुग्रजाते प्रह्लाद महाराज प्रेड हाउ इज इट पॉसिबल फॉर मी हु हैव बीन बोर्न इन अ फैमिली ऑफ असुरास टू ऑफर सूटेबल प्रेयर्स to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons, could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then, what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. So here, starting from this verse 8 onwards, Prahlad 8 till 12, he deals with this issue, who is qualified to offer prayers to the Lord? So that is from 8 to 12. And we'll go ahead later and we'll discuss the review. So here we see the extraordinary humility of Prahlad Maharaj, that although he has been selected to offer prayers, he considers himself unqualified. Most conditioned souls, especially I, even when we are not selected, we think ourselves qualified. So when he's selected, the first thing that he's thinking of is his disqualification. So in one sense, he has been proven, demonstrated to be superior to everyone else. Because where everyone else has failed, he is being put to try. And the Lord, to some extent, the effect has already been there. The Lord has become pacified. But he is seeing his disqualification and others' qualification. So where else in the scriptures do we see this same mood, wherever the devotee approaches the Lord, he prays with great humility, expressing his disqualification? Yes, Maharibhu? Kunti Maharani, yes. He says, Katham Pashyem Hi Striyaha. And then, yes, Revati Bhu? Yeah. So, the Lord says over there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, my heart is breaking because of your humility. Stop it. For most of us, Lord will say, my heart is breaking because of your pride. So, you can recite this verse. Well. Nicha jati, nicha sangha.
Nicha jati, nicha sangha.
Patita adhama. Kubishaya, kubish, kupavishaya padi. Gonainu janama. So, this is Sanatana Goswami. When he surrenders to the Lord, he is offering his prayers. Nicha jati. He says, I belong to a low caste. Now, it was for protecting the Vaishnavas that he accepted the service of the Nawab Hussain Shah and he allowed himself to become a Muslim. But still, see, now I am unqualified. Nicha jati. Nicha sangha. Now, of course, he was born in an exalted family, Saraswat Brahman family. But he was converted. And he says, I am not only in a low caste, but he's also Nicha Sangha. I am associating with this Nawab and his associates. Therefore, Patita Adhama. I am very fallen. And Kuvishaya Padi. Kup is the well. Vishaya Padi, the well of material existence. I have fallen into that and Gonainu Janama. That I have wasted my life. So, actually, although it's very difficult to feel this humility when we offer prayers, but it is this humility that attracts the Lord. And generally, the conditioned soul has a tendency to find fault with others and find good with oneself. We always find that. But the pure devotee, we see the opposite psychology. They find good in others and they find fault with themselves. Here, although in one sense, Brahma, Daya, Suragana, Munayota, Siddha, they've all been defeated. They've all failed. But what is, he's not seeing that they have failed. He's seeing that Sattvaikatam Gatayo Vachasam Pravahi. They're all situated in Sattvaguna and Vachasam Pravahi. They have offered such eloquent prayers. And Kim Toshtu Mahati Samehari Rukrajate. I am born in a demoniac family. So he's seeing his disqualification. There is another prayer by Sanatana Goswami. He says that there is no one more sinful than me, no one more fallen than me, and when I think of confessing my sins to you, I feel ashamed of myself. Does anyone know this verse? It's there. It's quoted by Rupa Goswami in Anodi also, in Mana Shunyata. Matulyo nasti papebhyo. नाप्राधी च कश्चन परिहारे पिलज्जोमि किं ब्रवे पुरुषोत्तम. सो ही सेज मत्तुल्यो नास्ति पापेभ्यो, देयर इज नो वन एज सिनफुल अस बी. नाउ सो देयर आर टू थिंग्स व्हिच ऑब्स्ट्रक्ट्स ऑन द पाथ ऑफ भक्ति, देयर इज सिन एंड ऑफेंस. इज नाप्राधी च कश्चन, देयर इज नो वन एज ग्रेट एज ऑफेंडर एज मी. एंड ही सेज हाउ मच इज माय ऑफेंस व्हेन आई ट्राई टू कन्फेस इट टू समवन, परिहारे पिलज्जामि, आई फील अशेम्ड ऑफ माय सेल्फ. So what can I speak, my dear Lord? But then he says, the hope is there that you are the deliverer of the fallen, so you will deliver me. And Prabhupada also quotes this verse over here in the purport. Jagai madai haite mui se lagishta, purushera kita haite mui se, first is papishta, then is lagishta. And of course he quotes, tuna the pisu nichena. Now, so in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is expressing his disqualification to offer prayers. So, first thing he says is humility. The very amazing prayer of Rupa Goswami when he comes to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with all his associates, they tell him, okay, what have you written? He has written Lalit Madhav, please recite it. And then Ramanand Rai, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Asok Damodar, they are amazed to see how beautifully he has written verses glorifying Krishna. And at that time, they started glorifying him. So at that time he says, my dear Lord, even a sinful tree like a babul tree or any other sinful tree, even if that is ignited with fire, even that sinful tree can spread illumination. And that is not the glory of the tree. That is the glory of the fire. He says, similarly, I am a very sinful person. But because I have been illuminated by your mercy, so I am speaking all this. This is your glory, not my glory. So, even after speaking such wonderful things, he gives credit to the Lord. It is said in material life, success has many fathers and failure is an orphan. Whenever something is done successfully, many people claim, yes, I did this. But when failure comes, they pass the buck. No, he's responsible. So failure is always an orphan. So in this verse, he expresses disqualification. But any of the Vaishnavas would like to add something, please feel free. You can churn the nectar more. You would like to tell some other similar points which you may have heard. So we'll go to the next verse. मन्ये धना विजन रूप तपः श्रुतौ जस् तेज प्रभाव बल पौरुष बुद्धि योग नाराधनाय हि भवन्ति परस्य पुंसो भक्त्या तु तोष भगवन् गजयूथ पाय. So now, Prahlad Maharaj is going on. Now if you're saying you're not qualified to speak, then somebody may ask, why are you speaking? So he's going to explain now. Although I'm unqualified, how still I can recite those prayers. Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, lustre, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic powers. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. So, now, Sattva Guna, if somebody is situated in Sattva Guna in one sense, that is the result of past good karma. And what is mentioned over here also, dhan, abhijan, rupa, tapah, shuta, these are also result of past good karma. So, by past good karma, one may be in a congenial material position now. But that does not satisfy the Lord. So, he says, the Lord is satisfied only by bhakti. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan. And even Prahlad Maharaj, being an acharya, he gives Shastric reference. What is the reference? Gajayuthapaya. That Gajendra, he satisfied you by this. Gajendra was an elephant and he did not have any material qualifications. So now when we are preaching Krishna consciousness, material qualifications are important. Somebody is a good speaker, a good singer, a good manager, a good book distributor. These are important. And they help us to spread the mission, at least at the material level. And they also bring us appreciation when we are in the association of devotees. Appreciation, glorification. But material qualities will attract only people. It will not attract Krishna. So we have to use this for the service or for the sake of preaching. But we should know that that is not what is going to attract Krishna. Even if others glorify us, even if people are impressed by what we are doing, but still we know that is not what is going to attract Krishna to us. That is not what is going to lead to spiritual advancement. So, even any material ability, generally because our movement is a preaching movement, if somebody has that is always glorified. And that person is given a lot of opportunities to grow. But that is always risky. And they said that, whenever there is a war, the frontline soldiers are the first to fall. Isn't it? So those who are behind, they are carrying the camp. So like that, those who have material qualities, they come in the limelight and Maya targets them also more. Today morning, Ramanpur was saying, when one soldier falls, then many others are affected by that. So especially if somebody in the limelight is affected, then many others are influenced by that. You see this in the Mahabharata war. When Bhishma Pitama fell, the Kauravas were devastated. Or later on when Karna fell, Duryodhana was heartbroken. When Shalva fell, all the troops just scattered. So when one general falls, it affects a lot. So we have to be very careful, and I'm speaking for myself now, that we should not think that the glorification that comes because of our material qualities constitutes spiritual advancement. So he's saying here that one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Now of course, if somebody has material qualities or can develop them, we should develop them for the service of the Lord. But we have to always also take care of our sadhana so that we move forward in devotional service. Otherwise we will stagnate. And that's why now we have this new sadhana card system. We have to focus on our sadhana, whatever happens. Because it's natural and especially because we are in the mode of passion, being youthful, it's natural to focus more on our projects. But then when we do the sadhana nicely, then actually the Lord becomes satisfied. And Prabhupada gives an amazing example. He says when Sudama Maharaj, he had gone to Japan to preach. And he was trying to preach, but because Japan had progressed tremendously materially after the Second World War, from ruins to glory. So the Japanese people were completely absorbed in material progress. And they were not the least interested in spirituality. So he said, Prabhupada, what should I do? And if I try to talk with someone, if I try to distribute books, nobody talks with me, nobody is interested. So then Prabhupada gave an extraordinary instruction. He said, you just chant in your office. Chant as attentively, as intensely as possible. He says, Krishna is like a magnet. And the conditioned souls are like iron filings. If by your chanting Krishna manifests, the souls will be attracted. And they will come and your preaching will be effective. In fact, that was a realization of Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. When he started, he actually went into Nirjan Bhajan. He was preaching, he left his world I think in 1915. And from 1906 onwards, he started living in seclusion. And 1910 he went completely into Nirjan Bhajan. To the material vision, it seemed like he had epilepsy and he was not in a coherent state, but he was absorbed in the deepest ecstasy. And his realization was, he writes in one place that, if I just chant intensely, the holy name will do all the preaching. So Prabhupada writes in one purport that, when a devotee chants sincerely, the holy name appears in his heart and through his heart to others. And this is how preaching expands. So if we can focus on our sadhana, then whatever material qualities we have, we can use them to not just materially impress people, but also spiritually attract them. And even if we have no material qualities, still we will be able to spiritually attract people. And we will be able to bring them closer to Krishna. So he mentions a long list over here. One may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, and so many other things. So there is a shloka by Rupa Goswami in Padyavali. He says, anyone remember that shloka? Sudamno kim no dhanam. He gives a list of all the different people. Yadasya charanam dhruvasya chavayam vidya gajendrasya ka kubjaya kimu nama rupa dhanam. No dhanam adurasya yadu yadupate ugrasya kim paurusham bhakti tushyati kevala nacha gunair bhakti priyamadhava. So very beautiful. So in one sense we can relate, here he is saying that all these things will not satisfy, and there Rupa Goswami is giving shastri examples for many of these things. He says first vyadhasya acharanam. He says the vyad, the terrible hunter, referring to Mugari here. What Vyada says, what good behavior did you have? He says, you have to have good behavior to be able to please Krishna. That is true, but he says, Vyadasya acharanam. Dhruvasya cha vayam. Somebody says, I am too young to practice Krishna consciousness. Now I have to become older. So once Jayadeva Maharaj asked, is youth the right time for Krishna consciousness? He said, no. Childhood is the right time. You're already late. So, Dhruvasya cha vayam, Vidya Gajendrasya ka. What? Learning did Gajendra have? Now, of course, Tuti Stota Ranapriya. Gajendra was in an elephant's body and he did not have any knowledge. Now, he spoke eloquent prayers by the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in one of the Gajendra purports that the Lord, the devotee may forget the Lord, but the Lord never forgets the devotee. And the Lord remembers the devotional service he has done and he reminds him at the right time. So, Vidya Gajendrasya ka Kubjaya kimu nama rupa adhikam Sudamno kim no dhanam. So, what was the beauty that Kubja had? She had no beauty, but the beauty that she had was a service attitude. And that was what attracted Krishna. And then, afterwards, he manifested physical beauty also. Sudamno kim no dhanam. He had no wealth. He offered just some chipped rice. There is another beautiful prayer in Padyavali. He says, my dear Lord, just as you accepted the breast milk from Mother Yashoda, just as you accepted the milk, the butter, the yogurt offered by the cows of Vrindavan, just as you accept the milk sweets prepared by the gopis of Vrindavan, just as you accepted the foodstuffs prepared by the yagyik Brahman Patnis, just as you accepted the banana peels offered by Vidura and his wife, just as you accepted the chipped rice offered by Sudama, please accept this offering that I make to you. So when we are offering something to the Lord, we can offer this prayer. So although we may not have devotion, it is said that when we quote some devotees, the Lord remembers those devotees. And just as when we love someone, and if we remember that person, we become pleased. So similarly, by reminding the Lord of his devotees, the Lord becomes pleased. And then when he becomes pleased, then we offer our prayer. The Lord becomes more favorable to accept it. So that's why quoting previous Acharya's prayers is in that sense beneficial. Of course, our own prayers are beneficial because they sometimes come from our heart. So if we can find a prayer of an Acharya, which also comes from our heart, there's nothing like it. You should treasure it very much. So Sudamno kim no dhanam. Then after that, Vamshaha ka Vadurasya. So Vidura was born in a prostitute's family. When Gandhari was pregnant for a very long time, she had those 100 sons and she was not delivering only. So now Dhritarashtra could not control his senses. And according to Vedic culture, if a woman is pregnant, then the man cannot associate with her. So he couldn't control himself and so he associated with a dasi. And that's how Vidura was born. So, Vamshaha ka Vidurasya. And lastly, Ugrasya kim Paurushim. Yadupate Ugrasya kim Paurushim. Sorry? No, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. That is a different. That story is about, very good, thank you for pointing. That is a story about his one Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was a half son of Dhritarashtra. And he was the only son who survived when all the 100 were killed. And he was the one who did Pindadan for the Kauravas. So this was first time when she came, Ambika. So Vyasadeva came. So she was actually expecting Bhishma to come. So she, what Satyavati told her, that according to Vedic culture, that a brother-in-law can come and impregnate. And that's how the dynasty will continue. So now the only brother-in-law she knew was Bhishma. And Bhishma was such a gallant and heroic person. And she was expecting him come, and she was filled with anticipation and eagerness. And when she saw Vyasadeva, you know, he was emaciated, he was ugly and fearsome looking, and his body was not smelling good. She was horrified. And first time she closed her eyes in fear. And then when she closed her eyes, Vyasadeva put the semen in her. But the child that was born was blind. Then after that again she came, and this time she turned pale. She tried to control herself. She turned pale. Yeah, of course. Then she came, and then this time she turned pale. So the son that was born was Pandu. He was pale in complexion, and he was he couldn't live long because of that genetic defect. And then lastly, when again Satyavati requested, please once more, we need a able son. So now Pandu was pale in the sense that he was quite heroic, but he had more Brahminical tendencies towards renunciation. He was not so much interested in administration and warfare. So that's why he renounced the world and he went to the jungles, and that's how he was living. So then he said, I have one more son. Oh, this time both of them said, we cannot tolerate being with him. So they sent a Dasi Putra over there. Dasi over there. And then Vyasadeva realized it, but still he impregnated. And that Dasi was actually in good consciousness. He said that a great sage is coming. So the son that was born was Vidura. And then when he came out, and Satyavati asked what happened, he told him what happened. Satyavati was shocked. He said, please, one more son. He said, no, I lost enough semen. I cannot lose any more semen now. So Vyasadeva refused. So anyway, the point is, Vamsha ka Vadurasya. So why? What Vamsha did Vidura have? But still, he was satisfied. He satisfied the Lord. And the proof that he satisfied the Lord was, the Lord accepted the banana peels that he offered. So just related to the previous, it's a very beautiful story. Just comes to Isola Sundaranda Maharaj. He is in his traveling preacher's diary. He tells a story about fault finding. So he says he was in Poland doing his traveling preaching, and they had a bus, and they had hired a bus driver. And this bus driver was a little elderly person, and he was very irritable. He would always, although he was an employee, he would shout at the devotees. And he would go very slowly, and he would not listen to or obey the devotees. And many times people would behind honk, and as devotee preacher, we want to go fast. So Maharaj would get angry with him a little bit. So Maharaj told him, I'm going to speak with him. And then the devotees told all the other complaints. Maharaj said, this is too much. I'll give him a piece of my mind. And then to cap it off, when they got down, he had an argument with the devotee while he was driving. And as soon as they reached the destination, he just walked away from there. And he had the keys to all the lockers. And the devotees had to take everything out, and they had to set the tent. And he was not there. So Maharaj said, this is the last straw. So then the devotee had to search for him. He came after half an hour. And then Maharaj told him that, you can tell him that I want to talk with him. So he came forward and he said that, you want to talk with me? He said, yes, I also wanted to talk with you. So Maharaj said, okay, you speak first, then I will speak last. He said it in his mind, and he spoke. He said, I don't like the food that you people cook. It's too sticky and messy. Only everybody appreciates special. Okay. Maharaj was burning with him. And he said, I don't like the devotees also. They are too noisy. They are just running around. So he said, okay. And he said, I don't like the way you worship that deities also. It appears too artificial. Now you listen, Maharaj. But he said, when you sing the song at the end of your program, he says, something very amazing happens in my heart.
And Maharaj was completely stopped. He couldn't speak anything more.
He said that, I feel something very deep stirring within my heart. And every night I long for the time when you sing. And I sit at the back and absorb myself. And sometimes I find when I open my eyes that tears have come out of my eyes. And then he says, but when others sing, that same effect is not there. So I wanted to request you, will you be singing tonight or will someone else be singing?
So Maharaj just couldn't speak anything. And then
he looked at Maharaj and so Maharaj was silent and he took out a photo from his pocket and he showed it. It was a photo of Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. So some Christian traditions consider even the Virgin Mary as worshipable. He said, actually, I am an old man and I have a very irritable nature and I know it. My mother told me in my childhood and she gave me this photo of her. You know, she told you, pray every day to her to help you overcome your nature. And he said that every morning and every evening I pray to her to help me overcome this. But somehow I am old and my habits don't go away. But I simply love your singing. And then he became lost in thought. And then he came and he said, you wanted to tell me something? I said, nothing, it can wait. Such a pious person. In the Western world, who is there who will pray twice a day throughout his life? And he said that, I felt like a fool. Such a pious person, I could see no good in him. So at that time, they were having a lot of opposition in their preaching. Because the Christian church is very concerned that they are spreading so much. So they do a lot of opposition. So they would a lot of propaganda. So sometimes the negative propaganda goes beyond the ridiculous. One place they found poster written that, you know, the Hare Krishnas are conducting the festivals to grow rice to feed their guru. It just makes no sense. But every day, wherever town they would go, on the official notice of the church would have something condemning the Hare Krishnas. And they would sometimes send even gundas to attack. So they had to have really tough security for that. So then that's why Maharaj was already in anxiety and this driver was aggravating his anxiety and irritation. But then Maharaj went back to the tour manager and he said, now I know who is our real enemy. He says, who is that? It's not the Christians. He says, it's our own conditioning. Prabhupada said that if you become Krishna conscious, you can take over the world in 18 days. It's we who have to become more Krishna conscious. And then he says, so Maharaj would see, every time when the final kirtan would start, he would look behind. And just at the back where the bus would be there, on the steps of the bus, that person would be sitting. Does anyone remember his name?
Anthony,
yeah. So Anthony would sit and he would be absorbed. And Maharaj would see him. And then one day Maharaj went to him and told him, can you please come and sit ahead? He said, no, I am afraid of crowds. I can never come in crowds. So he said, no, please come and sit. So he Maharaj insisted, but he said no. But gradually he would come and sit. And then the tour was ending. And the last day, by the time the tour was ending, they found that his heart was also transforming. And he has become a little more good-natured. And he had become more polite and respectful. And he would not go into temper tantrums. So the Holy Name was actually working. He was sincerely receiving the Holy Name and it was working. And then on the last day, the tour manager came and says, Anthony has got a gift for you. Has given a gift for you. And he feels too shy to give it to you directly. So I said, what is it? And he opened his hand, it was a photo of Virgin Mary. So he said, this is his most prized possession. Yes, he said, that's why he wants to give it to you.
So Maharaj was very touched by that. He said, I was looking at that photo for a long time.
And then that night, when he was just thinking about Anthony, and then finally Kirtan started and he saw Anthony come and sit right in front. And then he started, and all the program was over. Now the whole, not only that festival was over, but that was the end of the festival season. So he was saying, now we will be having the last Kirtan of our season. And I want to dedicate this Kirtan to a very special person. This person taught me to see good in others. He taught me to have faith in the holy name of God. This person is our driver Anthony.
And now all the people cheered, because in the West they have this equality of all classes and everything like that. So when somebody qualifies a driver, they all like it very much.
So I would like to dedicate this kirtan to Anthony. And so he, can you come ahead, Anthony? So he was not ready to come. And then Maharaj, he called again, but still he was not ready to come. And the crowd started cheering. And finally he came forward and sat. And when he sat down, then Maharaj did the kirtan. And after the kirtan got over, Maharaj said, now, after this kirtan, I have got a gift for our driver. I request him to come and take this gift. And he was trembling when he was climbing up. He climbed up and came on the stage, and then Maharaj embraced him. And when he embraced him, then Maharaj, the devotee, brought the gift and he gave it. And Anthony's mouth fell open. It was a CD player and a CD of all the kirtans that Maharaj had sung during that. The tears came from his eyes. So Maharaj quoted, Dadati Pratigranati Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati. He says, how he gave the gift of that Virgin Mary, and Maharaj gave him that. So he says that, you know, if we can see good in others, then actually we can transform them. If we see fault, then we have no hope of transforming them. So Krishna consciousness means not to see the lack of Krishna consciousness in others, but to see the potential for Krishna consciousness in others. Yes, conditioned souls means they will be lacking in Krishna consciousness. But a preacher should be able to see not just the lack of Krishna consciousness, but also the potential for Krishna consciousness. They can become devotees. So, go ahead. So this is, now the next verse is quite famous. Prabhupada would quote it quite often. Vipra dvishad guna yutad arvinda nabha. Pada arvinda vimukhachva pacham varishtam. Manye tadarpita mano vachne hitartha. Pranam punati sakulam natu bhuri manaha. If a Brahmana has all the 12 of the Brahminical qualifications as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujat, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. So, now how is Prahlad Maharaj proceeding? In the verse 8 he said, I am materially unqualified. But in the next verse he is saying that the real qualification to please the Lord is not material but spiritual. And now he is saying, if somebody who is materially very qualified, he cannot satisfy the Lord. But somebody who is spiritually qualified, even if he is materially unqualified, he can satisfy the Lord. So it's a progression which is going on. So then if you want to give titles for these verses, you know, first verse is the title, I am unqualified. That's what Prahlad is praying. But then in the second verse he says, devotion is the only qualification. And third one, he says, third is, devotion is, or you can just speak, a devotee greater than Brahmana. Or devotional qualification is greater than Brahminical qualification. Devotee greater than Brahmana. Now, what is the classic example of this? Of, not exactly a dog eater, but somebody who was a Brahmana, and he couldn't please the Lord, but somebody who did not have so many qualities, they please the Lord. Yes, Kanita? Exactly. The Yajna Brahmana and their Patnis. Now, their Patnis were not so learned in the scriptures. They were not so good at reciting my meat mantras. But they pleased. Yes, Shana Kashi Prabhu? Yes, the Brahmana and the cobbler. They had faith. So, we'll see in the Vedic literature that, especially in the Bhakti literatures, Bhakti Shastras, that often the Brahminical qualification is minimized. It is a devotional qualification that is emphasized. And the reason for that is that the Brahminical qualification can very easily lead to pride. Prabhupada writes, when one is, when is Brahminically situated, he is not so much, there are not so many sinful reactions, sinful desires. So he is relatively peaceful. He takes pleasure in the advancement of knowledge. And so he's basically superior to the common people, both in terms of his activities, physically he's not doing sinful activities, and both in terms of his intellect, he's more intellectually developed than the common people. And because of that, naturally pride comes. And that pride acts as a greater disqualification. Whereas somebody who is materially unqualified is born in a dog hitter's family, but if he is humble, he will attract the Lord. So Prabhupada again in this, he quotes this verse which he quotes very often, Mam chayo vibhicharena bhakti yogena sevati sagunana samtityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. This verse contains a very interesting contrast which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur resolves in his purport. What is this verse, Mamche? This is 14:26, the second last verse of 14th chapter, which is entitled. What is the 14th chapter? Yeah, three modes of material nature. So, just 2-3 verses before, Arjuna asks Krishna, you know, Kim achara katam shaitan trin guna anati vartate. He asks, what are the symptoms of a person who is transcending the mode, and how do I transcend the modes? So, this is the answer to the question, how do I transcend the modes? So he says, if you become fixed in unflinching devotional service, unbreakable, avyabhicharini, there's no deviation or distraction, then you will transcend the modes. But then the problem is, it is the modes which break our devotional service, isn't it? It is because of the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion or sometimes it is the mode of goodness. There is, when we are doing hearing of a class also, There can be hearing in ignorance, there can be hearing in passion and hearing in goodness. So hearing in ignorance means sleeping. Hearing in passion means? Yes? Yeah, our mind is wandering. You know, what all the things are doing? We are just waiting for the class to get over and start doing our things. And hearing in goodness means? Sorry? Nectar hunting. One more thing. Being that is good, no? How is that a distraction? Okay, actually, it seems I only have a very demoniac mentality. Exactly. You feel that? Oh, he's not speaking properly, I can speak better than this. The same point. So, that way. So that means, you know, compare the other person. So we are not really interested in receiving the knowledge when he is speaking. We are just interested in comparing his knowledge with our knowledge. So that is in sattva guna. Because we are on the intellectual platform, but actually we are comparing. Yes, Ramandru? Achha, he has completed this canto also. Achha, he has not completed this canto till now. Because based on what he speaks, we can understand how much he has read. So, these are some of the inner dynamics of giving classes. For those of you who not started giving Bhagavatam class till. So, it's an unfortunate part, we are all conditioned souls. But that is, so the point here is that it is the modes which break our devotional service. And Krishna is saying, if you practice unbreakable devotional service, then you will transcend the modes. But when we are within the modes are breaking our devotional service, then how can we practice unbreakable devotional service? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, beautiful answer. He says, it is not by jnana. It is not by cultivating knowledge. This is passion, this is goodness, this is ignorance, and I should stay away from this. He says, it is not by that one can practice avyabhichari bhakti. He says, it is by the attitude of service to the Guru. So it is by the attitude of service to the Guru that one can become avyabhichari in bhakti. He says, it is Guru Nishtha and Guru Bhakti. That means, the disciple who is situated in the consciousness that at every moment, how can I please my Guru? And of course, to please the Guru by pleasing the Vaishnavas. So one who can have that consciousness, then the modes will not influence him. But if we have the other consciousness, you know, karta aham iti manyate, then the modes will drag us up and down. So of course I am speaking this, I am very much affected by the modes. But it's a very inspiring thing. That's how we can understand. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmanah kavayo vidu. So eva sadhu shukruto moksha dwaram apavrutam. If we become attached to devotee, then how we can become free from material bondage? See, when we just have knowledge, then you know, what the Shastras say is the right thing to do. Okay, this is right, this is wrong. This is beneficial, this is harmful. That is vivek, this is discrimination. But when we love a devotee, then what the Shastra is saying is not just the right thing to do, but the pleasurable thing to do. Because we want to please that devotee. And when it is pleasurable, then it becomes much easier to do it. So here he is saying that one who is a devotee, he is in a much better situation to please the Lord than one who is in a Brahmanical situation. Now of course, Prabhupada also instituted Brahman Diksha, and he also wanted devotees to become Brahmanas. But the So Murai Prabhu is instructing that I explain the right thing to do and the pleasurable thing to do. For example, now, say all of us, we are influenced by lust sometime or the other. And at that time, we know this is not the right thing to do. This is wrong. I should not be thinking like this. I should not be acting in this way. But then we feel it's pleasurable. As yattad agre amrutopamam pariname vishamam. So we feel it's pleasurable. And although it's right to not think of these things, not indulge in these things, but it's not pleasurable. In fact, the wrong is pleasurable at that time. But if we have attraction to Guru, then what happens? It's not just the right thing to do. We know that if I can resist these temptations, the Guru will be pleased with me. My spiritual Srila Prabhupada will be pleased, my spiritual master will be pleased. So that positive motivation makes resisting the temptations much easier than just the negative. No, this is wrong. So when we think of the spiritual master and his service and his pleasure, then saying no to Maya becomes easier. So Pope John Paul II, who left his body about a year ago, you know, he was very insistent about celibacy among the Christian priests. Although many other Christian sects, the Protestants and other Seventh-day Adventists and all of them have given up the requirement for celibacy, because people just cannot observe it. But he was very insistent. And he had a very good slogan, which we as Brahmacharis can also adopt. He says, a no to sex is a yes to God. So no to sex is equal to yes to God. So three things. He says, practical, concrete and real way of saying yes to God is saying no to sex. So although it's pleasurable, we give it up. So the point here is that when we are saying yes to the spiritual master, then if you're just saying no, then that's not pleasurable. But yes to the spiritual master, okay, this is what you want me to do, I'll do that. Then it becomes easier. Is that not? Okay. Anyone would like to add anything more? So, of course, can you guess what Prabhupada will say in this purport, comparing Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? ISKCON devotees and Smart Brahmanas, caste Brahmanas. So incidentally, the spelling of Smart is almost the same as smart. Is it? They think they are very smart. So most of us know the pastime in Radharaman, when devotees are praying very sincerely. So they said, Radharaman Pujari said, you pray like this and in your next life you will be born in Vrindavan as a Vrajvasi and you will become a Pujari for Radharaman. The devotees were very happy. Thought we have got a great blessing. And they went and told Prabhupada, the Radharaman Pujari blessed us. What? They told him. So Prabhupada just turned his face and he said, you go and tell him that let him do his Radharaman worship very nicely. In his next life, he will born Western countries and he will become a preacher in the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada, because he considered that the preachers are doing the will of Lord Chaitanya. Prithvite Ache Nagaradi Gram. So we say this is a prediction. So Indrajit Maharaj writes very beautifully. He says, Lord Chaitanya has made the prediction and it's going to come true. But a devotee doesn't think that the Lord is omnipotent and he will do it. It's like Krishna showed to Arjuna the Vishwarupa and he showed that everything is being destroyed in the Vishwarupa, being devoured. But Arjuna, I have to fight it. So he says, fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's prediction is the preacher's greatest responsibility. Very beautiful. So what is our response? Of course, we have to do our sadhana. But it is our responsibility to do what we can to fulfill the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why Prabhupada considered it. It was not a pride that I am a great guru or that my disciples are great. It was just, he was seeing from the Lord's perspective that the Lord wants this to happen and these devotees are becoming instruments in that. That's why they are glorious. And now when Prabhupada came to India, he faced a lot of opposition. That he had made Westerns into devotees. Now, at one level, Prabhupada defended the devotee, always. But another level, whenever any devotee would fall, what would be Prabhupada's first comment? Now my godbrothers will criticize. It's not again ego. He actually had concern for that devotee. But he knew his godbrothers were influential in India. And if they would criticize, then that would adversely affect his movement in India. And his movement means actually the benefit that the Indians would get would be decreased by that. So, the disciple can, there are two beautiful letters of Prabhupada, I'll conclude with this. Now, how Prabhupada wrote one letter to one disciple who left the path of Krishna consciousness. He was a leader and he left. So, Prabhupada wrote that, I had given you such an opportunity to render wonderful service in the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But now, I am hearing such distressing news about you. And I am feeling so forlorn. So, he says that I had made you a leader, but now, so Prabhupada says, you are sinful rascal or something. I am just hearing such distressing news about you. We here in our management seminars and leadership, separate the person from the problem. So, you are a fallen person. Prabhupada didn't say that. Now, Prabhupada got no training, but just because of the compassion of his heart, he spoke like that. I am hearing such distressing news from you. And I am feeling very forlorn. Forlorn means, it's like a small child whose parents have left him. He goes, I don't know, where will I go, what will I do? Suppose I am feeling so forlorn. Then he goes on to say, speak some more things to the devotee. And then he says, but I have faith that Lord Chaitanya will send the right souls to me to spread his mission all over the world. Hyphen. If not you, then someone else.
Very heavy end. And there, another devotee
who had done a wonderful Rath Yatra festival and he sent the report of the festival to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada wrote back. Indranath Maharaj quotes it very often in his diary. He says, my chest swells in pride to have disciples like you.
So what greater compliment can a disciple get from the spiritual master? The spiritual master said that I am proud of you. My chest swells in pride. And this is not material pride. This is spiritual.
So this was Srila Prabhupada. He had great love for himself and he wanted them also to become glorious. So, if the devotees did something wrong, Prabhupada defended them. But actually he wanted that they rise to the standard of becoming exalted and pure Vaishnavas. So he said that, Prabhupada said, even a dog eater, if a person is born a dog eater's family, but if he becomes a Vaishnava, he is far more exalted than a Brahmana. So, I'll summarize. So, first we discussed about splitting the atom and ripping apart the pillar, how that atomic energy. Then we saw about half man, half lion, full God. That's your idea. And then the first prayer, I am unqualified. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he's seen the good in others and seen the fault in himself. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they're examples. And then he says, yes, I'm unqualified. I'm materially unqualified, but material qualification is not what is required. So, material qualification doesn't please you. Devotion is the only qualification. That's the verse second. And then we discuss Vyadasya Acharanam, the other verses. And of course, we discuss that very heart-touching story about Antony. And in this verse, the same thing is continued. Devotee is greater than a Brahmana. In fact, this is one of the main verses that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur quoted in his debate with the Brahmanas in Midnapur. So, thank you very much. Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki. தாய் கௌர் பிரேமானந்தே.
हरे कृष्णा, ये देखा जा रहा है कि भक्त जो हैं डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन करने के बाद क्लास में वक्त पे नहीं आ रहे हैं. आज ही पहला दिन था तो इसलिए हम वापस याद दिलाना चाहते हैं कि ये जो आज ही पहला क्लास है ये इस टाइमिंग को, तो वापस एक बार याद दिलाना चाहते हैं कि 8 से 9 हर दिन शाम को क्लास होगा. तो इसमें उपस्थिति पहले से ही होना बहुत ही आवश्यक है क्योंकि ये ब्रह्मचारी क्लास है जो कि सबके लिए कंपलसरी है, बीटीजीस, फुल टाइम बीटीजीस और ब्रह्मचारीज के लिए. तो हमेशा जो नियम लागू होता है कि अगर वक्त पे नहीं आए तो फिर हर एक मिनट जो लेट